Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, it's Tuesday the 16th of April. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I have one fewer organ than when I last spoke to you. Goodbye and good riddance to my gallbladder. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we perform keyhole surgery on the British press, delicately chopping out all the manky bits and restoring it to a glowing picture of health. Well, as close as possible. We can only work with what they give us. Thanks to the brilliant people who've joined the Paper Cut Supporters Club. If you're already a supporter, or if you want to help us keep going for free, here's what you can do. Bung three of your mates a text, WhatsApp or email telling them how great we are. Include a link to papercutshow.co.uk. There's a link in the show notes. If they listen and subscribe, we'll be tickled pink. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. War on woke. The first day of Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial and he falls asleep in the courtroom. Light up your life. MPs to debate Rishi Sunak's flagship smoking ban. And I got 21 seconds to go. The Daily Mail has timed the perfect pee. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where today we are replete with Jacobs. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and with me today is Podmasters presenter, producer and first Jacob, Jacob Jarvis. Hello, Jarv.
Hello, Alex.
And also with me is comedian and second yet equal Jacob, Jacob Hawley. Hello, Jacob.
How are you doing?
Jarv, what are the broadsheet front pages looking like today?
So on the front page of the Times, first up top, they've got the really important news we need to know is what's really in your supermarket loaf. So that's, they've got their priorities right. But no, the main story is around the PM rejecting mounting calls to ban Iran groups. So this is all about Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And Sunak has rejected calls to proscribe this group, but he is facing mounting calls from some members of the Labour Party and also senior Conservatives after that drone and missile attack on Israel over the weekend. Then on the front page of The Eye, their main story also is around the situation between Iran and Israel. So Britain and US tell Netanyahu, don't start a world war with Iran revenge. So yeah, scary stuff all over the front pages at the moment. The Daily Telegraph, similarly, it's Wallace, West must resist Iran, but Ukraine needs Israel. So, yeah, this is a story around Ben Wallace saying that Iran is acting like a bully and must be hit back twice as hard as Israel prepares to retaliate after direct missile attacks from Tehran. So, yeah, mixed messages going there between what people are suggesting we're doing. There's also a very strange thing here of two worlds colliding with Alison Pearson meets Liz Truss. those who say I crashed the economy are either stupid or malevolent. I think those two words could also describe Liz Truss. So she's done well there. And then on The Guardian, Iranian attack will be met with a response, says top Israeli general. And they've also got a big picture here of Donald Trump. Trump in New York caught as hush money trial begins. And then in the top corner, how I learned to love being bold, not by Donald Trump, because obviously he's still clinging on as much as he can.
Excellent. And Jacob, how are the tabloids looking today?
They're a bit of a stark contrast to a lot of the World War III news in the broadsheet. the Mirror leads with secrets of BGT. Britain's Got Talent is obviously back. They've got a big double page spread on that. Host Anton Deck and the judges are going to be Amanda Holden and Alicia Dixon. The Sun have got quite a menacing one. The Queen, we'll meet again. This is the story of Queen Elizabeth's last recorded words to Liz Truss. Poignantly telling the then Prime Minister how they would meet again at some point.
In a dark alley.
Or a darker place in the afterlife. And
the Queen channeling Arnold Schwarzenegger there.
I really like it, actually. I wish she'd had more of that when she was around. The Daily Mail, there's all sorts of nasty stuff here, but the most fun bit is the expert guide to spending a penny, as you referred to earlier.
How often is too often? Yes, we'll be coming back to that. Yeah. Yes.
How often is too often? Why it should take 21 seconds? There are people within my family who read the Daily Mail, and they're of a generation where they don't seem to need too much advice on going to the toilet. They do it frequently enough. and then the Daily Star, TV Vicky, the dog ate my passport. This is Telly star Vicky Patterson, who was turned away from an EasyJet flight because her dog Milo had nibbled the side of her passport.
Right, OK. Try and watch out for that happening. Now, former and possibly future president of the United States, Donald Trump, was in court yesterday in New York for the first day of his criminal trial. Trump has been charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records related to paying hush money to pornographic filmmaker and wildly entertaining social media star Stormy Daniels. Jarve, what happened in court?
So what happened in court? First up, the serious side. So this is the first time a former or current US president has been in court in a criminal trial. So it's a big deal. Obviously, Trump has had a massive go at this, as you would expect him to, and is suggesting it's all political persecution, it's a witch hunt, it's people coming to get him because, you know, he's this sort of amazing godlike figure here to save America, and everyone wants to drag him down, which I'm sure plenty of people would dispute. So he called it an assault on America, which is ironic because after January 6th, I think him and his supporters know what it's like to assault America. So anyway, throughout the morning, there was Trump's team talking over outstanding issues, a lot of legal stuff. You know, being in court is unfortunately generally quite boring. There's a reason why lawyers get paid a lot of money. But the main serious issue here is going to be jury selection, because they need to find 12 people who suggest they can have an unbiased opinion on Donald Trump, which I don't really think is going to happen. In most trials, you'd be able to find people who don't know who the person is. And that's why this is a very unprecedented situation, because everyone knows who the president is. And he's also running to be president again now. So having a jury of his peers, I mean, how do you have a peer who's meant to be someone like you? You don't have very many people who are a billionaire, former president and apprentice host there to kind of turn up. So, yeah, that's that stuff. But now onto the funny side of it. So I mentioned how being in court can be quite boring. Obviously, Donald Trump thought the same, because The Guardian reported Trump appeared to be nodding off during the early moments in the trial when his eyes seemed to close and his head tilt until it jolted him awake again. And Maggie Haberman in the New York Times live blog also wrote, Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down. His mouth goes slack. So, yeah, Trump's team has denied this. 100% fake news coming from journalists who weren't even in the courtroom, despite those journalists having been in the courtroom. So, chaotic scenes as ever, and Donald Trump just bullshitting as he always will. But I don't know, maybe this will all end up looking good for him. I suppose Trump supporters might actually think sleeping with porn stars is quite cool. So I don't know, it's probably a waste of money in the first place, and it's caused a whole lot of bother for him down the line here.
Would you be a bit knackered, though, Jacob, if you were simultaneously having to run for president and do loads of court trials? I mean, it's quite exhausting.
I think it's exhausting at the age that he is. I mean, it's like I look at America's political system, and the White House is essentially a retirement home. It's incredible the age that they, and also, like, if you read anything about Trump, you realise that he manages to kind of function the way he does on quite a strong diet of vitamin drips that go in his arm and about 300 Diet Cokes a day. And I assume that wasn't available while he was in court. I just can't help but have a bit of political envy. That being one of their leaders is falling asleep during a criminal trial against a porn star. And the most interesting
thing...
Well,
not against a porn star.
Well, sorry, yeah.
A porn star is merely the kind of centre of the trial. It's against him.
Right, against him, yeah. But I mean, it's so much fun compared to us moaning about Rishi Sunak's trainer selection. Do you know what I mean? It's so rock and roll compared to what we have here. And despite it being so rock and roll, he's fallen asleep within it. When he can't do anything, he's really funny. You know what I mean? Like, when he's politically impotent, he's a great character. The problem is, as soon as he gets into power, which it looks like he's going to do again, terrifying man, you know? So it's quite frightening that I suspect that despite this, he will still get back into power pretty soon.
Oh God, well, there's a depressing thought for the podcast. But definitely possible though, isn't it, Jarve? I mean, even with all of this going on, it doesn't necessarily damage him, does it?
Well, certainly, I mean, he could become president whilst in jail. You know, there's not really anything that prevents a criminal being able to run for president. So who knows, it could be sort of some Oval Office set up in a prison cell, which would be quite something. But yeah, it's very much on a knife edge at the moment. But it will all come down to who energizes their base more, because as I said about the issue with the jury selection, everyone has their opinions that are quite set here. So I don't think this will massively damage him, because if people don't like Biden and they like Trump, they've decided that for a long time. We know that Trump's done a lot of bad stuff. There's not really much worse you can say about him.
Yeah. I think his supporters would almost enjoy this. Do you know what I mean? I think his supporters would look at this and be like, he should be sleeping during these accusations. These are actually, it doesn't warrant his time. He's a busy man. He's thinking about business. He's saving himself for more important things. This is the man who needs to run the country. After years of calling Joe Biden sleepy Joe Biden as well. The irony is absolutely perfect. Yeah.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Now, tonight in London, MPs will be debating one of Rishi Sunak's flagship policies, phasing in a complete smoking ban so that people born after 2009 will never be able to buy tobacco. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill is backed by the Labour and the Lib Dems, but opposed by some rebels, including former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Jacob, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, the story in the eyes is that there are the UK's four leading nurses have urged MPs to back Rishi Sunak's ban on smoking as it comes to the House of Commons. And this ban being that anyone born after the 1st of January 2009 will never be able to buy tobacco. So from 2027 onwards, the legal smoking age would just gradually increase. He announced this policy, I remember, at the end of last year in a Tory party conference. And like the two main policies he came out there, it was this one that he eventually wants to sort of make it illegal for people to buy tobacco, and that he wanted to stop trans women from using certain parts of hospitals. Mm. And it just feeds into my theory that I've no idea who Rishi Sunak is for. Do you know what I mean? Like when they were designing those policies, they must have been sat in a room somewhere. And it's like, try and picture someone in your mind who wants both of those things. Do you know what I mean? Who wants to eventually ban tobacco and also wants to limit the spaces trans women can access in hospitals. Like, I've met a lot of transphobes in my time, and I can tell you this, they fucking love smoking, right? To try and take the cigarettes, you've already taken their dogs. It's not fair. You can't. See, it's such a scattergun like list of policies that he's come out with, Rishi. And you always wonder if the advisors behind him are just going, well, maybe try something for those people, then something for them, then something for them, then something for them. And it's such a strange bill for me, because I come from a generation, I used to smoke when I was younger, right? I smoked at school. I was one of the bad lads who would hide behind
very
the,
naughty behind the back chest.
That was almost definitely the reason I did it, because I liked the image it would portray.
I've got cool vibes from you, man.
Oh, well, listen,
this guy likes six.
I have damaged my lungs just so that people like you would say things like that. And I will remind myself on my deathbed it was all worth it, because Jarv said I had cool vibes. I'm at an age now where I still, every now and then, if I've had a few beers at the weekend, will steal a cigarette off someone to try and enhance those vibes. And also, if I've got washing out on the washing line and my neighbours smoke in their garden, I will hiss and tut whilst bringing the washing in, because I hate the smell of tobacco so much. So I'm kind of torn on the policy myself, where it does feel kind of crazy to make it completely illegal for people to purchase tobacco. But at the same time, I do personally hate the smell of it. So I don't really know where I stand on it.
Yeah, it's quite weird, isn't it? I mean, the age cutoff is a bit odd in that, of course, somebody born a week earlier is always going to be able to buy tobacco. Mm. And meanwhile, another adult, a week younger, they could be at some point 64 and 63, will not be allowed to. And I do think that's a bit tricky in a sort of free society.
It's a great image. Yeah. You know how like when you're 18, you get 14-year-olds coming up to you outside newsagents to be like, "Can you buy me a beer, mate?" Like the idea of a 62-year-old approaching a 63-year-old outside of a co-op saying, "Would you mind getting me 20p notes gold, mate?" Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you know, yeah, and then someone's got to enforce that. You know, counter people have got to be like, "I'll see your ID, please."
Well, this is it. I mean, it's difficult enough for the staff of the Sainsbury's and the Tesco's of this country trying to decipher whether people like me and Jar have baby-faced men in their 30s are allowed to buy alcohol. When it gets to the point where you have to decipher if a man is either 62 or 63, whether he can buy cigarettes or not, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got ID'd for alcohol-free beer the other day and just thought, gosh, the nanny state has gone mad.
Oh, come on, you felt really pleased, didn't you?
I felt all right, really. Yeah.
I can't remember where the cutoff was where I stopped being insulted and started being massively complimented every time I get asked for ID now.
So, Jav, who's against this smoking ban? Who's come out and condemned it?
Well, weirdly, it feels like pretty much all the worst people in the world, to be honest, to an extent that just makes me think that I'm similarly somewhat torn, that I think, you know, people should be able to just make their own health decisions. But then, unfortunately, it's proven time and time again that we all make terrible decisions for ourselves, and it might be better for me if it was just made, nope, I simply cannot be allowed to smoke, and that's great, rather than me having to use willpower to do so, because that's constantly fraying. But so Boris Johnson is one of the Tories in opposition to this, and he's called it nuts, declared it a nanny state, and he invoked a bit of Churchill within there, which they always have to, don't they? If they can pull Churchill into Churchill loved smoking, and if smoking was good for Churchill, then it's good for everyone else. If World War III is going to happen, what, we're not going to be smoking when it comes to winning the war? We will lose terribly. But anyway, he's against it. Liz Truss is also against it. So Jacob Rees-Mogg and Suella Braverman have indicated they will vote against it, and Kemi Badenoch is one of the handful of cabinet ministers. They're considering it at the moment, apparently, so we don't know for sure what way they're going to go. There's going to be a free vote on the legislation, and I'm sure many will push against it. But unfortunately, at the moment, when it comes to voting against anything in the Commons, you can't really always tell whether it's, are they voting based on their conscience, are they voting on what they really want, or are they voting to either shore up Rishi Sunak or to have a go at Rishi Sunak. It's all so scattergun that, you know, some of these people mentioned, Liz Truss, for example, didn't rule out the possibility of coming back as Prime Minister. So maybe she
wants to position
herself that way. Kemi Badenoch, I think it's a pretty open secret that would like to have a go at it one day. So their positioning against, to me, would suggest they're not against people being able to buy tobacco, they're being against people being able to vote for Rishi Sunak because they'd like people to vote for them. So
I mean,
you just can't really tell.
Rogue's gallery against it, Jacob. I think maybe I support the smoking ban. Suddenly I feel really into it.
I was so surprised when he came out with it as a policy. And I guess I'm kind of surprised by the support for it when around the world you see people like legalising the purchase and possession of cannabis. What a world we're going to live in where it's impossible to purchase tobacco but very easy to purchase cannabis at some point. It's like Snoop Dogg's dream has come true that everyone everyone has access to blunts all the time.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now on Paper Cuts, we love the headlines. If there's a birthday card from your nan, they're the fiver in it. So strap in and prepare for the puns. It's the headlines of the day. What do you have for us today, Jav?
I'm going to open up by saying don't quite understand this headline straight away. So if it's confused, there you go. But there is a better thing which is in the picture caption, so I can read that out for us. So this is about the first sighting of the year of the Loch Ness Monster has happened, which, you know, the first official sighting as well, which I quite love. So yeah, this couple have taken a picture of an unknown creature near Urquhart Castle. I'm not sure if Urquhart I'm pronouncing Castle. That. Urquhart Castle, okay. And yeah, Parry said, Shannon spotted the black head of an animal bobbing up and down. I was a total skeptic before, but now I think there must be something there.
Mm.
Yep, it's 90 years since the first organised search for Nessie, and they've gone for the headline, Spot Nessie.
Right.
Which I don't really get, but yeah. Picture caption, bringing Mystery. It back, they've gone for Monster Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually really good.
Yeah,
that should have been the main headline.
That should have been the headline. Yeah. It wouldn't have quite fitted, though, would it?
So no. Sort
of Spot Nessie. Sometimes our listeners have to explain them to us. And yeah, have a go if you can.
If that's from something else, who knows? And then, so on page 23 in the Star, thieves in high-vis jackets are towing cars away in broad daylight, according to experts. So motor security companies have seen an alarming rise in thefts in plain sight using tow trucks. This is the perfect crime. This is quite ingenuitive. So they're these sophisticated professionals who know what they're doing. They'll just turn up and just tow a vehicle. Make it look like they're just towing, but they're just nicking it. But yeah, this is from Jeremy Lawton, the chief crime correspondent for The Star. And they've gone for trucked off.
Oh, that's quite good.
That is a good one.
Jacob, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so this is from The Sun. It's a story of a beaming Alison Hammond, the This Morning host, and it's her cuddling up to a mystery man on a romantic day out. They go on to briefly describe what she's wearing. She's wearing a cap and glasses, and she posted a series of photos online, posting with her bespectacled fella, who's wrapped up in a leather jacket, scarf and hat. And a source said of the mum of one, she's finally confident she's found a trusted companion.
Aww, a trusted companion.
They look like honeymooners. Now, the headline, Ali and Pally.
I think
that would make sense if they were in Alexander Palace.
I don't think they are. Yeah.
Or if his name was something to do with Pally, which it's not. It's just that they look Pally together. Mm. So Ali and Pally for Alison Hammond and her new trusted companion.
Yeah, it's all right. It's mid, isn't it?
This one's really good. So this is a story of Sir Paul McCartney romped with two female fans for 3 days in the Beatles' heyday, says a book about the singer's love-in ended when future wife Linda turned up at the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles, it's claimed. Now, the headline they've gone for, Let It Free.
Oh, that's good,
which
though.
I think is fantastic.
Yeah, that's
I'm
great.
I'm a big fan of that.
Excellent work.
I'm surprised they didn't go with Come Together.
Brilliant.
Selfish lover, Paul McCartney.
Now let's delve into the mad bits in the middle pages. It's the features sections. And today the Daily Mail has trailed on its front page its huge double page feature on how to piss. You might think you know how to do a wee-wee by this point in your life, but no, the Daily Mail doesn't think you do. Jarv, how should we piss?
This doesn't answer that very well, I'm going to warn you straight away, for 2 pages of it, but it gives you some explanations around weeing, I suppose, in some way. But it starts off in a bad way, if you ask me, and there it goes, we mostly do it without thinking. Yet experts say when and how we urinate can reflect or even improve our general health. Well, yeah, if you're urinating without thinking too often,
that's bad.
You're pissing yourself. So I don't do it without thinking. Like, I'm not saying I think loads about it. I don't orchestrate or make sort of Machiavellian plans around my wee schedule, but I do think about it. So yeah, it goes into how often should we wee in a day? And apparently, according to, they've delved in, they've spoke to some experts. They've got a Vijay Sangar, a professor of urology at Manchester University here, say it's quite usual to pass water around 3 to 5 times a day if you drink around 2 litres daily. It should also, apparently in 2013, US scientists discovered that all mammals urinate for roughly the same amount of time, which I don't believe is true.
No, but some of them are really tiny and some of them are
exactly. It's just, I don't want to get too angry about it, but I could say pissed off, maybe that would be good.
Yeah, thank you.
But 21 seconds is apparently how long it should take. There's a lot to get into here. So it also does the classic thing about the Daily Mail where it seems to want to make women feel bad about themselves or tell them how to improve themselves. So it's telling women how they should wee. Here.
Right.
So you should sit on the seat and not hover. But then it also tells men to sit Because apparently, if you're in a hurry, your prostate lies at the base of the bladder, and it can make it more difficult to pass water, as it's a physical obstruction. So if you strain when you're standing up, if you sit down, that makes you. So apparently, everyone should sit down to wee.
Right.
Also, telling women to pee after sex, which it sounds actually like they're trying to do some good advice, but it's like, as I say, framed in the way the Daily Mail does of going, oh, come on, women.
Women, you losers.
But my favourite bit in the whole thing is this question. Should you be worried if your urine looks like this? And then it's got bright green urine, bright blue, bright red, brown, purple and orange. Yes.
Yes.
if your piss is any of them colours, then that would concern me. I mean, they're suggesting this. It's probably just asparagus or beetroot that have made it happen, or apparently some antidepressants can make your pee go blue.
Has this made you neurotic about peeing, Jacob?
I think the maddest bit is the colour guide at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that if you have wee that is that colour, this little colour guide should help you.
Mm.
Like, imagine having bright red piss and not going to hospital because a middle feature in the Daily Mail has told you it could be beetroot.
It's quite
reckless health advice going, right, should you be worried if your urine looks like this? Don't worry if you've got purple wee. We might have the answer. It could be, it says here that the purple one could be, it could be a UTI. Brown wee, a brown hue, may indicate dehydration. So yeah, I imagine it probably does.
Yeah, brown doesn't sound good, does it?
I also quite like the why men should sit down. As I get older now, I have to say, I love a sit down wee. I really do. I really love a sit down wee. That's, I would almost say the most relaxing parts of my day are a sit down wee, a kind of 2.5 minute scroll on the phone. That is, as a man in his early 30s with a lot of work on and two children, that's maybe the most relaxing.
Two and a half is
weekend.
Supposed to take you 21 seconds.
This is the thing now. I think phone addiction has hit everyone so hard that most people's toilet trips last up to about 15 minutes now, just so they can have a good scroll. I think the amount of people who kind of half pretend to have IBS just to excuse a good scroll on the toilet because they're having a sit down wee and a look at their phone.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Jacob Jarvis.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Jacob Hawley.
Thank you.
Don't forget the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Ditch those ads and get more fun bits from just £3.60 a month. Head over to papercutshow.co.uk or follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our supporters for helping to make the show today.
Thanks, and if you change your mind, I'm the first in line, Kate Chamberlain.
Thanks, and if you need me, let me know, Kevin Nolan.
Thanks, and take a chance on me, Alistair Campbell. Is it that one? We don't know. Anyway, cheers, mate. Really appreciate it. I've been Alex von Tunzelman, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Mirror revealed that two men hid £17.2 million worth of cocaine inside blocks of cheese. That's a whole lot of cheddar and a heck of a way to end a dinner party. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelman with Jacob Jarvis and Jacob Hawley. The producer was Liam Tate, with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.